the third Sunday after Easter, is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. Beloved, I exhort you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from carnal desires which war against the soul. Behave yourselves honorably among the pagans, that whereas they slander you as evildoers, they may, through observing you, by reason of your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. Be subject, therefore, to every human creature for God's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as sent through him for vengeance on evildoers and for the praise of the good. For such is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Live as free men, yet not using your freedom as a cloak for malice, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters in all fear, not only to the good and moderate, but also to the severe. This is indeed a grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. Is taken from St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while, and you shall see me no longer. And again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Some of his disciples, therefore, said to one another, "What is this he says to us? A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, and I go to the Father." They kept saying, therefore, "What is this little while of which he speaks? We do not know what he is saying." But Jesus knew that they wished to ask him, and he said to them, "You inquire about this among yourselves, because I said, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me.' Amen, amen, I say to you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman about to give birth has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has brought forth the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for her joy that a man is born into the world. And you, therefore, have sorrow now. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one shall take from you." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, a few things I wish to bring out from the bulletin. Tomorrow is the feast of the finding of the true cross. This is truly a significant occasion when we did finally find it. After it had been misplaced, apparently, for a while. And we now, as we know, have that which is the instrument that helped us on the way to salvation. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. And we shall have First Holy Communion in our church on that day. And I ask you, if you will, to please pray for the little communicants and ask Almighty God that he will do all to keep the innocence of these children as long as possible. Let us pray for the little children. Master Andrew Winland is going to crown the Blessed Mother next Sunday. pray for him too, as he performs this act of beauty. Now there's something that I wish to say to you before I begin the sermon this morning, just by way of instruction. So many of you are very, very good to us. And so many of you bring us food for which we are very grateful. There's something I want you to do. I want you, any one of you, every one of you that brings food here of any sort whatsoever, whether it's store-bought or homemade or whatever, no matter, I want you, please, to put clear identification upon it. For two reasons. Number one, that we can find who the owner is of the dishes, oftentimes, that the food is put into, and that's important. But the more important part of it all is, that we know who gave us that to eat. We have got a rule, a standing rule in our house, and I think it's under the present circumstances, and I need not go into detail because I think you all know why. If we do not know absolutely and positively where the food is coming from, we won't eat it. And I think you know why. So, we're living in extraordinary times, and we must take extraordinary measures in order to survive. So, be sure that it is clearly identified, Mrs. So-and-so, period. That's all we need to know, that Mrs. So-and-so brought whatever it was, a bowl of pudding, and that it is safe to eat. We're not the only ones that are taking such measures, I'm told. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, yesterday we began the lovely, lovely feast, the lovely month of May, the month of the Blessed Mother. This morning, I could go into the description of our Blessed Mother and talk about the Blessed Mother and describe all that she stands for, etc., etc., and etc., but I won't do that because you already know about the Blessed Mother and you already know what the Blessed Mother stands for and her importance and all that goes with the Blessed Mother. But the point that I wish to bring out, and it is in constant lecturing, if I can use that word carefully, of concerning our spiritual life. We should ask ourselves, why do we do this and why do we do that? And we must be extremely careful that our Catholicism, that our religious observance does not degenerate into a mechanical observation. There is so much that is going on around and about us today. It always has, for that matter, but today it seems to be more manifest. There's so much that's going on around and about us that is keeping us completely occupied and preoccupied and distracted, that the tendency may be in too many of us, to reduce our religion and our religious observance to such a listing of duties that we have to perform. During May, we say the rosary. During June, we say prayers to the Sacred Heart. During August, we say something else. During Christmas, we do something else. Advent, we do something else. And it becomes a listing of just of do's and don'ts. And that is a religion that is really without any true significance. It is just something we're doing. And it may prove to be somewhat worthless in the long run. Because doing it that way, I think you will notice, or we should ask ourselves, is the way I'm living my religion bringing about in me any kind of a good change? Or do I find myself not moving in any direction, standing still, which is worse than going backwards, or actually going backwards, or am I possibly, hopefully, going a little bit forward? Do I find myself doing the same thing today for the same reason, in the same way that I was doing this, that, and the other a year ago, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago? Is there any activity taking place in me that shows a sign of improvement? We tend to take, when we treat our religion in that way, as I said a moment ago, in Advent we do this, and Lent we do that, and Easter we do the other thing, and so on and so on. We find that Advent and Easter and Christmas and the feast days, like yesterday, the Feast of St. Joseph and so on, they become for us commonplace. And we come to church on Sunday. And why do we come to church? Not only to this church, but why do we go to any church on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, but primarily on Sunday? Why? It becomes so commonplace that we do not attach significant importance and what it's all about. When we come to Mass, we come to Mass often, and we see the same priest doing the same thing, in the same way, time after time after time. And we become so accustomed to it that the whole thing becomes somewhat mechanical to us. And we don't attach to it the importance of what it really is. And since I'm on the Mass, let us talk a moment about this. The Mass, of course, is the Blessed Eucharist. Blessed Eucharist is the Blessed Mass, and so on, however you want to say it. How many of us really and truly profoundly from the very bottom of our hearts, from the very deepest recesses of our mind, actually appreciate the Mass. That we do not look at the Mass, just as I said a while ago, just something you would come to, and it's done the same way, same time, every day, every time. Today he's wearing white vestments, tomorrow he's wearing red vestments, next time he's wearing purple vestments, and so on, and that's about all that we see. It's worth, you know, thinking about. My dear people, first of all, I'm demanding, by my next statement, I'm demanding that each one of us brings forth the most profound faith that can be thought of. And if we don't have that faith within us, then what I'm about to say will be just another thing to be said. At this moment on this planet, there are many, many things that are being done that are of the greatest significance and importance. And there are powers that are moving around on this earth right now that are awesomely great. And there are men that are moving about that are exercising powers that we find difficult to describe. In a few minutes, this priest that you've seen already this morning, this priest, all by himself, is going to ascend a little set of steps. And he's going to perform a little ceremony. And this priest, all by himself, is going to perform an action, a thing, an act, that is much more powerful in itself and all by itself at the hands of his solitary person, this single solitary priest that nobody knows anything about except the few of us that are in this church. This priest is going to do something that has absolutely no measurement of comparison in power to all the power that exists on this earth at this moment. Because this priest is going to reach his hand into heaven and is going to take the second person of the Blessed Trinity and bring him down to you and to me, and in the power of his hands, the power of his two hands is greater than all of the cosmic power that man has ever been able to put together. This priest is going to do that. This is the Mass. And when we come here, we come here to take part in that awesome act. the Mass, the Eucharist, is so important that if you studied the pages of your history and read the words of your newspapers and read the books, etc., and so on, what this one priest is doing and is going to do, there are others, of course, but what this one priest is going to do is so unbelievably important that I think you can think with me, along with me, that all of the power, I shouldn't say all, because I don't want to go into that kind of, that most of the power and the energy and the effort and the whatever else put together on our earth today, or any day, is there. Now, don't be in too hurry to make a conclusion. Let me finish before you come to conclusions. That all this power today is engineered and put together to prevent this priest, this one solitary priest, from doing what he is about to do. You think I'm exaggerating? As long as that priest is able to put on your tongues that little tiny piece of bread, that little host, he is frustrating the efforts of all those who are trying to bring in the brotherhood of man, ecumenism, family of nations, one religion, everything. As long as he holds that host in his fingers, that one priest is keeping that from being completely successful. Have you ever thought of that? That one priest holding that tiny little, what looks to be a little white wafer, that little white wafer will not let it happen. And they know it. That's why all the energy that we can put together has been put together to keep him from going up those three steps. I never thought of this, but it was brought to my attention. It happens to be the same priest that I'm talking about. Mentioned it to me this morning. I hadn't thought about it. You know, Satan never ever really knew who Christ was. He had some good ideas about him, but he never really knew. And he was always probing and always, if this, if you're this, if you're that, and if you're the other thing, come on, tell me just about, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Satan never really knew. If Satan, if Lucifer had really known who Christ was, and if Satan had really known beforehand, he didn't know exactly until the last instant. If Satan had known beforehand about the crucifixion of our Lord, And what the crucifixion of our Lord was about to accomplish, he would have done all in his power and then some. He would have brought up all the forces of hell that have ever been in hell. He would have brought every one of them up to keep the crucifixion from happening. Think on that one. Think on that one. Because the crucifixion, and he didn't know about who Christ was until our Lord's head went down in death. At that precise instant, like a beaten mongrel, he knew what had happened. And so we come to church, my beloved people, and we are unaware of these cosmic, if I can use that word, that please keep it in context, of these cosmic events. You know, this is the month of the Blessed Mother, and of course the first thing that we think about when we speak of the Blessed Mother is Fatima. Of course, our lovely statue is a statue of Fatima, and we're truly fortunate and grateful to have it. And when we think of Fatima, one of the first things that we think about almost immediately is all the talk, the books that have been written for it, the books that have been written against it, more and more about the third secret of Fatima. Let us again go to all the forces of the world. Look at all of the energy, all of the money, all of the effort that has been presented in order to keep this information from getting to you and me. Why? Why? If it has to do with war, we already know about war. If it has to do with avoiding hell, of course we want to avoid hell. If it has to do with prayer and penance and mortification, goodness gracious, you hear this all the time. Why all this business? Keep quiet about it. Don't talk about it. We all know the cosmic, again I'm using that word, it's in my mind this morning. We all know of the cosmic effects that we are capable of producing today in warfare. We all know about that. There's nothing new about that. I wonder who the third secret is aimed at. My beloved people, we speak of prayer, penance, mortification, etc., etc. No matter what takes place outside, make sure that the activity of your minds is concentrated on what is happening in your hearts. That's where all of the activity is of importance. Prayer. Prayer, my beloved people. Penance, my beloved people. Mortification, my beloved people. What is prayer? What is penance? How penitential are we? Just what effect does penance have upon you and upon me? How mortified are we? My dear people, we live better. Even the poorest among us today lives better than kings used to live. And we call what we do mortification? Not at all. I don't mean that we have to go around in rags and eat scraps and stuff. I don't mean that a bit in the world. But how attached are we to the things that we're not supposed to be attached to? When we say the rosary, but how do we, what is our attitude toward the rosary? It's just something I've got to do. I'm told that if I say the rosary X number of times, I will save my soul. If I make the first Saturdays and so on and go to communion, go to confession, I will be guaranteed salvation. If I make the 9 Fridays, etc., I will be guaranteed. And all of these, all we're looking for, my beloved people, are passports to heaven. That's all. We're looking for the passport. Passport is nothing but a piece of paper. It's not worth the ink that's written upon it. The only thing that is of importance is what is inside of me. And when I say that rosary, or when I perform that act of mortification, or when I attend Mass, or when I do any of the other things that I do normally, or say any prayer, just a Hail Mary, if you want to get down to the bare minimums. Just one Hail Mary. What is going on inside of me when I say that one single solitary Hail Mary? And this is what we have got to do, whether we like it or not, or it will be lost for all of us. I've told you before that the dragon is about to swing his tail around one more time. And when he does this time, how many of us is he going to sweep away with it? You are witness. We are witness. You heard today's epistle of St. Peter. I'm going to read it just in conclusion, because if I don't quit now, I know I'm going to get in trouble. Please allow me. Be subject, therefore, to every human creature for God's sake, whether to the king or supreme or to governors who are sent through him for vengeance on evildoers and for the praise of the good. For such is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Live as free men, not using your freedom as a cloak for malice, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, and so on. But this is not the point that I... Behave yourselves honorably among the pagans. that whereas you they slander you as evildoers, they may, through observing you by reason of your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. My dear ones, we're persecuted. You're persecuted. You're made fun of. You're ignorant. You need to go see a psychiatrist. You need to get yourselves straight now, because you're sick. You're sick. If the devil only knew beforehand what the crucifixion was going to do to him, everyone in hell would have been on duty at that moment to keep it from happening. My beloved people.